Well, I understand they have a tough job. On the other side of that, as a coach, you know, you have a job to do too. There's times where I could have been more accommodating. I admit that.
Yeah.
You just got to turn the page and move forward. As much as they want to dig deeper and deeper into the grave and see what more is down there, at some point you just got to, you know, look ahead and move on.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, reminder, it's Monday, and on Mondays at 5 o'clock, Megan Ottolini will be joining us later in the show to talk Celtics basketball.
That's right.
Yeah, to recap the weekend, the loss, the win, everything good and bad with the Celtics, see if she thinks it's a good thing that they're being tested a little bit here in the opening round physically and mentally and where that goes. So stick around about an hour for now. Mego, I believe, will be in studio here in Brighton.
Good column she wrote at WEEI.com about Jason Tatum. I highly recommend people during commercial break, give it a read at .com. Jason Tatum is playing angry now because of this Orlando Magic series, and that may be a good thing for the Celtics in the long term.
And unlike the Hulk, we will like him when he's angry, because that's what I've been looking for my entire Celtics following career with Jason Tatum, is utilize your size and athleticism and everything you have and maybe play a little angrier. Bring back that Jason Tatum that dunked on LeBron early in his career. We need a little bit more of that. So that'll be about an hour from now with Mega. Wonder what she thinks of Peyton Pritchard, too. A little struggles, not exactly playing his bestest of basketball right now. I'll see her thoughts on all of that. But we thought we'd help out our friend Joe Andruzzi, if he's still listening. So he didn't. Apparently he was the one. He must not be on social media. Maybe was
Joe.
Living. Yeah.
Joe has the obligatory Instagram and Twitter handle. But Joe spends, as you know, most of his time doing the yeoman's work, traveling around New England to raise money for his foundation. For those who don't know what his foundation does, when you have cancer, as Joe and his wife, Jen, who's a warrior, have survived, when you have cancer and you run out of money because it's so expensive and costly emotionally, physically, and financially, the foundation helps pay your bills so you can get to your appointments, you know, keep your internet, et cetera. It's really heroic stuff.
And but somehow he was one of the few that didn't catch this Bill Belichick interview on CBS this morning, which it was funny because I started to see the aggregations, the little clips, and then
quick question. Did you know it was on, Andy?
No idea.
I had no idea that.
I don't really frequent. That's not really. I mean, we know Stiz doesn't watch Sunday morning television because, well.
I do. I just watch it at 4.
By the way, my favorite part of your 3-point stance, Stiz, wasn't even when you said, like, you know, so I sat down to watch it when I woke up Sunday afternoon. It was that you sat down to, like, what is it? Your desk is your kitchen table.
At the kitchen table, yeah.
Well, yeah. Everybody uses their kitchen table as a desk every once in a while. But Joe missed it. And so we're going to play some of the money shots, money quotes. Sorry to use that term in this relationship. Never know. But we're going to play some of the quotes. So what's this guy's name? I'm sorry. The CBS guy that we all raved about.
News Anchorman.
Yeah, he kind of looks.
Voice Voicerson.
He kind of looks like Voice Voicerson. But he did a pretty good job trying to tiptoe through, like, maybe soften Bill up a little bit, then ask a tough question, then soften back up a little bit, then ask a tough question. So this is him, I believe, Stiz, asking about the relationship with Jordan, who is, just so you know, to set it up visually, about 10 to 12 feet away watching the whole damn thing.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
You joined InstaFace, as you put it. I love that. There's some great pictures of you and Jordan where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of you. What's the reaction been like?
What's it been like?
To have these different sort of photos. There's another one where you're doing, I know you're not into meditation or yoga or Pilates. You're balancing Jordan on your feet and she's doing kind of the Titanic pose.
Yeah, so I'm on some of those social media platforms, but I honestly don't follow them.
You do seem like you're having a lot more fun these days than you were in other chapters of your life, let's say.
I enjoy football. I enjoy the whole process of it. It's hard to win and it's hard to beat other good coaches, good teams. I appreciate the grind. I appreciate the competition. But coaching's fun, and honestly, I feel like I haven't worked a day in my life.
What the hell does dressing up like the Gorton's fisherman and hooking your girlfriend on a beach of Nantucket have to do with football? Because that's what the what's his name again? Sorry, Dan.
Tony DeCoppel is the host.
Tony DeCoppel.
Voicerson
from CBS. So he's clearly alluding to the pictures, the social media, the awards, the 28-3 T-shirt, the fact that Bill and Jordan are out there more, and Bill's like, "I love football." Yeah, we know you've always loved football. You used to stick to football. Now you're not sticking to football anymore. Now you're doing everything else all over social media for all the world to see. And yet, Fitzy, he pretends he's not aware.
What's it been like?
Just a quick aside. I've gotten that exact response. Like, Bill takes, you ask him, "Bill, so why did you go for it on 4th-and-2? And he gives, "Why did I go for it on 4th?"
What's it been like?
He just repeats what you said with that look of like, "What the F are you talking about? I don't even, what a moronic question. I couldn't possibly
How
know what
dare you ask right. me that question.
Yeah. That is what he was saying to
like
voice
we're in
voice
the wrong for yeah. asking what the hell's going on.
So does he expect us to believe, Fitzy, that he doesn't know that the or care that there's an adverse reaction to his relationship and his late life actions on social media?
I don't, Andy, I literally at this point now don't know the difference between when Bill and these, you know, odd blind spots that you say he has that we've all come to, you told me about him years ago, and now we've all come to sort of see, like, when is
he... Right again.
When is he, like, unaware because of his own nature, and when is he being purposefully obtuse?
Not talking about this.
Well, I mean, Jordan, I just want to know. I mean, I just, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, when is he trolling us, and when is he just being Bill?
So, and he does ebb and flow in between. This is a case where being obtuse, as you'd put it, or like he has to, right? Like he's definitely not going to delve into the reasons behind his relationship with a woman 48 years younger than him or whatever the age difference is between them. Like he's just not going to. Now, why they don't want to go into the start of the relationship, which is kind of out there, Stiz, right? You're the expert on all things Bill Belichick. Haven't we had these social media posts about the book that he signed for and a plane flight and just different things that kind of were the roots of this relationship?
Yeah, supposedly they met on the plane. That was the story, and that they bonded over philosophy, her philosophy homework. But another theory that I saw floated around on socials is that maybe the timeline of when Bill gets with Jordan may have some overlap when he was still with Linda.
And why would that matter?
Not maybe. I'm pretty sure it's definitely.
He was cheating.
Okay. Were they married?
Remember those photos?
Cheating.
No, but just because...
I also don't know if they were married. That was a serious question, not a rhetorical one.
Oh, I thought you were asking it as in, like, does it matter?
There was plenty of speculation that...
Poke around all you want.
You're not married.
Ring on the thing, yeah.
No, there was speculation that they were married. I can tell you there were people that pondered, speculated, wondered, did they actually get married? He made Linda the CEO or whatever she was of the Belichick Foundation. There were a lot of people telling me when she orders food, she says, "This is Mrs. Belichick. Can I get my usual order?" Like, there was different things of that nature, so... that was a legitimate question. Is it possible they were married and divorced? I don't know. I'm not here
I'm
to speculate
sure
on the radio.
Pretty sure a big old house in Nantucket, though.
Bet you Jordan gets a bigger house
My
in
question
Nantucket.
Is, what are the kids saying? Steve Belichick and Amanda, I believe, the
yes.
daughter?
Brian, Steve, and Amanda. Brian and Steve are on staff, so have to be around Jordan on a regular basis. You think when they email their dad, they have to CC Jordan on it?
Well, she did look out for, was it Steve?
He's not Bill's son.
Not, make sure you differentiate.
He's his own man.
I would give, honestly, at this point now, I'm not sure if there's any celebrities I want to meet more than I want to be a fly on the wall in a conversation between Mike Lombardi and Jordan Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I swear that must just be where he comes in with all of his football knowledge as like the guy that knows Bill. He's like, "You know, I know Bill." She's like, "I know Bill better." No, I know Bill. No, he likes me more. Like, and I've heard again that Miss Hudson, Jordan Mania, fancies herself an expert at the game of football.
It sounds like she fancies herself an expert at the game of a lot of things, and I'm not sure she is, because if she's an expert in PR and managing images, well, that's not going so great.
She certainly knows her way around a guy's will.
Oh, what does
that
mean?
Jeez. You know her, how old was her previous
BF? You mean Big
BF?
Will or Little Will?
Oh, God.
No, and I didn't mean that the way that came
Andy
out either.
Andy Hart.
I meant his
you
last
go to
will
Wisconsin
and testament.
For a couple days and
That's
you come back wild and on the public airwaves guy.
So, you know who I think actually looks really good in this in a weird way? Is a guy that parted ways with Bill. So you bring up Mike Lombardi, who's been on and on again, off again, Bill Belichick guy for
he's
years.
He's the conciliary.
Bears Nigerian, who is now happily at Boston College with Bill O'Brien, saying, thank God I'm not involved with that mess at North Carolina. Can you imagine if he had gone to North Carolina with Bill and was somehow in between Bill and Jordan stepping on his toes, and Bill's like, Bears, I know you've been with me for 30 years, but... You know, she's Jordan. I got to do what Jordan wants, what she gets. Yes, Diz.
I did do a little digging, and you know how she is. She's participating in the Miss Universe, I believe.
Miss Maine.
Miss Maine coming
slight
up.
Slight difference, but
Maine is Maine. It's the Maine is the universe.
That's right. Yes. Dan and I did a little digging. We found the song that she's coming out to.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Thank God you made sure that was the clean version. Because that would have been the last song we ever played on this airwaves here on WEEI.
Stiz, the second you started setting it up, I was like, all right, it's a bit. Uh-oh. And no, I thought you were going to play the theme from Psycho.
Oh, yeah, that would have worked, too.
Well, if you go, and Joe Andreuzzi, when you Google it, you'll see this. The face she gives when we're not talking about that, the look, the zoom in, is definitely a Psycho look. It is a look.
And here's a serious thing, and I mean this with everything that we're as opposed to other stuff.
So the other stuff is just BS. This
with everything that
now
we've
it's
seen,
time to get serious. Okay,
with everything that we've
hour.
Seen happening with Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
Hopefully, you know, God forbid something like that doesn't happen with him.
Well, I would be careful if I were Bill. I'm gonna guess that Jordan has a lot of intimate details about his life and different things and. And I know Bill pretends he doesn't care what's out there, which we know is BS because in the, what do they call that, Freedom of Information Act request, we got the emails where he was criticizing North Carolina for supporting people calling him a, quote, predator in the comments on a social media post. But he has no idea what's going on out there with his relationship
and reaction.
Well,
that strawberry breakfast dinner that she posted, some people were saying, and it kind of does, it looks like he doesn't know that she's taking the picture.
Oh, yeah, it did look like she didn't. It was like Ted following me in Green Bay.
That's
he took a lot of pictures and videos I didn't know were being taken. I was very uncomfortable.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was sneaking up on me. He was trying to document
the serious,
trip.
Bro?
Opens the door. I'm fiddling with it. All of a sudden, I look up and there's a camera in my face. I was like, get the hell out of here. Just total side note, that lobster thing with the strawberries was kind of cool to me. I actually liked the strawberry lobster she made on the plate. I don't know if she did that or they ordered that, but I kind of liked that. That was kind of cool, but that's just me.
There you go. Way to take a positive out of this.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. As I promised, Brian in the car wants to tell us a prank. Hopefully this goes okay, but I don't feel great about it. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I love you guys' show. This is not that bad, but
okay.
In college I hung out with a bunch of guys, football players, and I was trying to get with them in the weight room, put on some weight, whatever. I go to the dorm room one day, and one guy's like grabbing his stomach. He's like, God, I'm sore from doing all these atomic sit-ups. I'm like, what's that? They're like, no, you're not ready. I'm like, yeah, I am. So they go, you got to get in the floor, and then we put this resistance band over your eyes, and then you struggle to try and do a sit-up for 10 seconds, and then when we take the band off, you can't rise up because your stomach muscles are so messed up. Well, at the end of 10 seconds, there was somebody was mooning me very close, and as I sat up, which you can do after 10 seconds, you wind up in a spot you don't expect.
Oh, that was like Rikishi in the WWE. Oh, I feel bad for you, Brian, but, you know, you were dumb enough to fall for it, so kind of you get what you get, and then you get upset about it. Yeah, that was a pretty good prank. We used to do the icy
hot
one.
I'd rather just a cup check at this point.
I would prefer a cup check over that, no question. Mm-hmm. I don't know about a cup check versus the icy hot. We used to do that. You'd put it on their girdle, so then like they'd pull it up, and then in practice they just start squirming.
Oh,
and it's all
man.
Over.
It was like
and,
that bit in Revenge of the Nerds where the nerds put liquid heat all over the jocks.
Oh, yeah.
The alpha betas, yep. Jock straps at practice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's been done many times, many, many times. 617-779-7937. Franco in Lynn wants to react to our chat with Joe Andreuzzi. Is this about the pig's head, Franco?
It's not about the pig head. Okay. Hey, guys, love this show.
Thanks.
So just start off real quick. I'm in video production. I had a shoot this morning at 6 in the morning. I have you guys on all day, every day. I never change the radio station. And since I've been in and out of the car, all you guys have been talking about is this Bill Belichick story. So they're doing their job because it's all the radio station's talking about.
Not
so
talking
I guess she is good at her job.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Is her job to tear down the legacy and the reputation of Bill Belichick?
There's no such thing as bad press, man. Let me talk about
that's Boy absolutely Rudy. Not true.
I'm a video production man, and we went to he had a beneficiary a few weeks back. I went there, and we went there. She thought we were just filming a mission video. He went there with Stop and Shop in Poland Spring, and this woman, lovely family, and Joe Andrews is a lovely man. He surprised her with a year of free food from Stop and Shop, which is huge. And Poland Spring gave a year of free water. And Joe Andrews, he's been through this. So he's such a genuine guy. And when this lady found out that they were giving her this, you know, these benefits, I mean, her emotion, like I get emotional just thinking about it because it's a great organization. And anybody who's listening, if you have a few bucks, you should go on there and just donate because it makes a huge difference. I saw it in person. I see it in person every time they do this. And it's a huge shocker. So if you have a few bucks, a lot of money, you should go on the foundation, Joe and Judy Foundation, and help out because it makes a huge difference. He's such a good guy. He's been there. He's had this experience, so he knows. And it's 100% worth it. And
thanks for the call, Franco.
Great story.
Oh,
good Lord.
I'm teasing.
Have you
I'm
no
teasing.
Heart? Just because Belichick broke your heart, you don't need to take it out on every call we get to the radio station.
I'm in a sour mood today.
Stiz is going to go on a terroristic spree now, just making other people feel his pain because his idol has lost his way. Stiz, I got to tell you, honestly, I can't figure out any which way. You know, I admire Belichick and thank him for all the everythings, but like, I got to tell you, I have no idea. If you legitimately can defend Belichick, if you totally are into, I would love to hear from someone or someones that can call up and be like, oh, yes, this is totally normal behavior. This is totally rational. It's explicable. I got you. Why? How? It's beyond rationale to me at this point.
Two simple questions I want to go around the room before we go to break here. I'll start with Stiz. Does Bill Belichick ever coach in the NFL again?
No, and that's what I really hate about this. Is like it's starting to call into all the times I thought it. You know, he's such a genius. He makes the best decisions.
Right. He hired Patricia.
Oh man,
his hired Patricia. Acumen. He got but Jordan. No. Nope. Let her do everything she wanted. Dan Ball, does he ever coach in the NFL again?
No, and I felt that a little before this whole Jordan stuff.
Fitzy,
Rafi Devers answered for me during spring training.
I agree. No. Now the other question is over under 2.5 seasons at North Carolina. 2.5 seasons, over or under, Stiz?
Over.
Over! Dan Ball?
Under, two, and then gives it to his son.
I am going to also say under, Stiz. I mean, Fitzy?
Three, so I'll go just over.
So you guys got, okay. Yeah, I'm with Dan. I think it's under, and I think you're right. They clearly are paving the way. Jordan is paving the way, trying to puff up Steve. Notice I didn't say fluff up. I said puff up Steve to be the next head coach at UNC.
This.
He's his own man. He's not Bill's kid. But this is a story that's not going away because I feel like every time we think, okay, football's about to start, spring practice is going to start, Bill will just get back to being, you know, simple, boring football Bill Belichick, something else pops up. Like, will he be in Maine? I don't know. Will he be in Maine at the Miss Maine Universe pageant? Will some content come out of that?
I wonder what Ted thinks about all this.
Oh, I'm sure we can ask him tomorrow, and I'm sure he has a lot of opinions that he'll share tomorrow, 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we got to get to the Red Sox. We've talked a lot about the Celtics. We've talked a lot about the NFL draft. The Red Sox had a fun, exciting weekend. They took a series from the Guardians. It wasn't just the controversy from Jaron Duran. They're running around. They're making plays. They're being athletic. The pitching's back. Some guys are getting hot who were not optimistic. We're on the uptick here in the roller coaster that is the Red Sox season. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, go ahead, Trent.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Thank you, Andy, for the permission. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Patriots have completed the 2025 NFL Draft. 11 players were taken in total, the first 4 of which were on offense. In total, they took 5 players on offense, 4 on defense, and 2 more on special teams. The 4 players taken in days 1 and 2, number 4 overall pick, Will Campbell, offensive tackle. Then in the second round, 38th overall running back Travion Henderson, third round 69th overall wide receiver Kyle Williams, and also in the third round 95th overall center Jared Wilson. New England moves into phase 2 of their voluntary offseason program today, and new within the hour, the team has released 6 players. That's offensive lineman Jake Andrews, defensive lineman Marcus Harris, wide receiver Jaquay Jackson, linebacker Titus Leo, safety Mark Perry, and tight end Giovanni Ricci. The Celtics beat the Orlando Magic 107-98 last night and are now up 3-1 in the series. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 37 points. Game 5 is tomorrow night in Boston. 2 NBA games this evening. Cavaliers are at the Heat. Cleveland is up 3-0. And the Rockets are at the Warriors. Golden State is up 2-1. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Cleveland Guardians yesterday afternoon with a 13-3 win in the rubber match. Brian Bale won his second start in a row, going 6 innings and giving up 3 runs. And 6 Red Sox hitters had multi-hit games as part of the win. Boston is off today. They start a series against the Toronto Blue Jays on the road tomorrow night. 2 Stanley Cup playoff games tonight as well. Lightning are at the Panthers. Florida's up 2-1. And the Avalanche are at the Stars. That series is tied at 2. And finally, Mike Sullivan, who led the Pittsburgh Penguins to back-to-back Stanley Cups in 2016 and 17, is out as the team's head coach. Sullivan is a Marshfield, Massachusetts native, and sources say he is, quote, keen on coaching again next season. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
He's 40 feet coming down the line. Oh, he's stealing home. Here he comes. Throw. Not in time. Jaren Duran steals home. Faster than all in sight. 6-0 Red Sox in the third.
You want to look. It was very close.
45 feet down the line, back and forth.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens on a Monday afternoon. We've talked a lot of Celtics. Yes, they're in the playoffs. Yes, they're up 3-1 in their series with the Magic. Talked a lot of Patriots, NFL draft, Will Campbell, and the rest of the draft class given A's by pretty much everybody. Red Sox, who we have ridden the roller coaster, Fitzy, for weeks now. We get excited, then there's a little reason to be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't get excited. Are they not as good as we think they are? AL East is starting to sort of spread out a little bit. For so long, it was like the Red Sox were a game out of first place and a game out of last place. And now the Orioles are sort of drifting toward the floor. The Yankees are atop the division. The Red Sox are a couple games back. Brian Bello is back in the major leagues, mm-hmm. pitching well enough, which, you know, I probably could have pitched well enough yesterday. When you get run support like that, it's pretty nice to just kind of throw it up there, throw strikes, let your defense make plays. But Jaren Duran, and we're talking about on-field Jaren Duran, mm-hmm. 3-hit games are starting to become the norm for him. Remember we were talking about, is he had the hitting streak, but it was like, it's like 1 hit a night. He's still kind of not really.
Was it up to 9, 10, 11?
Yeah. But now it's multiple hit games that he's starting to put together. So I am starting to feel good. Like, they're starting to heat up. It was a nice weekend in Cleveland. They're starting to heat up after the rain. They're starting to heat up a little bit. Brian Bello gets back in the big leagues. Sean Newcomb is now bumped to the bullpen. He actually pitched some long relief yesterday. So, optimistic about the trend the Red Sox are taking with a couple game win streak here and heading in the right direction?
Yeah, and I'm not really sure which of the two I like more, the fact that they're getting a lot of quality starts or the fact that the bats have really come alive. I think I'm going to go with bats coming alive, because now that's 3 starts in a row from my guy Walker Buehler that have been quality starts, Andy. He's got 3 straight now, which is huge. And Bayo going 6 and giving up 3. That is the definition of a quality start right there. Like, that's all you could ask of a starting pitcher, unless it's your stopper who kind of spit the bit a little bit last week as well. These things happen. It's okay. It's understandable. Every now and again, you kind of lose your grip on the ball, but that's okay. I trust he'll find it. But scoring, like having the offensive outburst that they've had, Jaren Duren having multiple hits, stealing home, making big plays. Also, getting somebody like Rafaela going. What do you have, 5 RBI yesterday or 5 hit?
Yep.
Like, that's key because he's a bonus Jonas as far as offensive output. Like, if you're getting multiple hits, let alone a 5 ribeye game from him, that means if he's feeding, the rest of the team should be feeding as well. Devers going long. I think the offense, we're now 2 games away from being 20% of the way through the season. It'll be interesting when we talk to Alex Cora, 2:30 Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons, if he feels like the offense is on the verge of really waking up and hitting stride like the rest of us do.
So it's interesting you brought up Rafaela because his 5 RBI, this is crazy. So he's been in the big leagues a year and 20 games or whatever, 20% of a season.
He's a baseball baby.
Sunday was the 3rd career game for Seydon Rafaela with 5-plus RBIs while batting 9th. Ties the major league record for most such career games set by Jackie Bradley Jr. with the Red Sox.
And probably did it in August.
And Omar Vizquel. Isn't that kind of random?
Get out of here.
Now, I know you have to be good enough to have a lot of 5 RBI games, but not good enough to get out of the 9 spot in the batting order, I guess. But I found that kind of interesting. That Seydon Rafaela now tied the major league record for 5-plus RBI games. And he's a guy, you said, I agree. He could be a complete difference maker with his athleticism and speed and getting on base. If he is doing anything at the bottom of the order before Duran and Devers and Bregman and the guys at the top of the order, that second, you know, leadoff guy to reset things there in the back end of the order, forget Billy Miller. Billy Miller was a nice, productive batting champion in the 9 slot. He can be an athletic force at the bottom of the order, and you saw that yesterday when he does things like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they get to go. So now they take a night off, and they have 3 in Toronto, and they got to pay the Blue Jays back for taking 3 or 4. Toronto is 5-10 on the road. 3 of those wins came in that extended 4-game series where the nights were cold and the Red Sox bats were colder as well. A consistently hot Duran will set the table for the offense. Like, that's I still maintain that so Jaren Duren goes, so this Red Sox offense goes. Because as we've seen, Alex Bregman likes hitting at Fenway. Alex Bregman likes hitting in this lineup. He is a constant now. Story's on the bounce back. Love to see that as well. He's not as hot as he was 2 weeks ago. That's okay. I'm feeling betterish. You know, of course, you know, Casas hitting above his weight is a dream that many of us probably won't realize anytime soon. But
boy, he better lose some weight. A lot of weight. He needs an awakened 180 drop down of 50 plus pounds quickly. But the thing that is piqued me, excited me, is I do think they've always had the potential to be a young, fun, aggressive, athletic team. Mm-hmm. Hasn't always played out early in the season. It did this weekend. And there were a number of examples. Obviously, you have Jaren Duren stealing home. Just a clean, straight steal of home, which was awesome. You had Romy Gonzalez with the old double steal of home. But one of my favorite plays kind of went under the radar was Christian Campbell going, I believe, 1st to 3rd on a hit to the outfield. They throw to the cutoff man. It deflects off the pitcher's glove and is literally like a foot from the pitcher's mound. He had stopped at 3rd, but as soon as he saw the ball not get caught cleanly, he runs, he slides, reaches way out to grab the plate. Like, those are the types of things that I think are contagious. And I think those are the types of things that Alex Cora wants to see. This is a baseball team that in recent years we've criticized 2 things pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. Defense and base running. There has been a lot of base running snafus over the years. If they can be that team that has all these young guys that can run and put pressure on the opposing defense, force them into errors, take extra bases, they can be a lot of fun. They don't have to just rely on, oh, we'll sit back and wait for Devers or Casas or Bregman to hit a home run. They can create a lot of runs with this lineup with their speed and aggressiveness.
Yes, but that's how they're going to have to, because they're not a lineup full of, you know, it's not a beer league softball team. It's not a murderer's row of home run hitters. You don't have, I mean, who right now, who do we expect to lead the Red Sox in home runs for the season?
It's always going to be Devers. It's always supposed to be Devers.
It should always be Devers, but who's isn't it Bregman? That's our story that has five.
It's like, always going to be Devers. Devers, get your ish together.
Can I also just sort of point out that it's kind of great. I don't think many of us were expecting this out of him so far. So what is his ERA on the season? It is 1.74. Aroldis Chapman has been, I'd say, better than Slayton's been awesome. You know how much I love a nice big Slayton.
You like Slayton more than anyone, more than Cora, more than
I love that big curveball, man. It's a great out pitch, and he's been better than advertised. He's got a what has he got? He's got a 3.6 ERA. Okay, a little higher, but he's been better than I thought.
For what has he got? I should have read this before I went on the air and read it live.
No, it's okay. Yeah, but it was higher earlier in the season. It's coming down. But Chapman hit 103 the other night, Andy, on the gun.
Sure he did. Like, I don't believe the guns. They're fluffed. They're fluffed and they're stuffed. The guns are not real.
Why would he hit 103 on a road gun?
Because their gun is fluffed. I'm saying it's fluffed for everyone. I don't believe fluff all gun? These 103-mile-an-hour pitches. We went like a century where only Walter Johnson threw 100, and now all of a sudden everybody throws 100.
We went Joe a century average. Where running like a 4.5 40 was like meant you were a Superman or that you were biomechanically engineered. Now you got guys running 4.2 40s.
I don't
right.
believe those either. I have always accused the NFL Combine of running like a 38, shaving a couple yards off the back end to get guys faster. I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in anything.
Why can't you just steer into believing things and having
all
fun?
These guys throw 100. All the
it
used to be
in the Matrix with the rest of us. It's fun. We have better stakes.
It used to be when Roger Clemens threw a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, you were like, oh, my God, he's hitting 96 on the gun. Now 96 is like a changeup. It's like a run-of-the-mill pitch in Major League Baseball
because
they
cutter.
Fluffed all these guns up so much. I think they screw with them.
You
know why? You
don't think the modern athlete has improved? Like
I do.
Okay. Well, good.
Then. Not that much, though. Not so that everybody throws 100. They want you to rave about it on the radio. They want the little kid in the crowd to be like, Dad, did you see that? He hit 100. No, he didn't. It was like 97. We just fluffed it up to 100. We rounded up. We messed with the gun.
Well, it's working so well. Look at how popular baseball is right now, Andy.
Thank you very much, Dan Ball. That's ball game.
You don't think baseball is popular?
No, I don't.
They just signed a guy to a $750 million guaranteed contract. They seem to really be struggling.
And nobody's going to watch it.
Hey, I'm not watching.
It's because Steve Cohen has $20 billion. It's just a game to him.
Don't make me get Rob Bradford on the phone to tell you that baseball is not boring.
I love baseball.
You don't like home runs? You don't like guys stealing bases? You don't like guys gunned out? The Red Sox do? You don't like guys throwing 103?
I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. I'm saying that your assertion
about
them.
It is your favorite sport? I didn't know that about you. I thought it was hockey.
As I've come back to Boston and gone
each
to
day, he changes it.
Yeah,
one day it's hockey, one day it's baseball.
Fitzy in the breeze. He's like Fitzy picking a favorite player for the fourth pick, like a different 3-point stance every day. Sooner or later, he's
going to
be right.
I was presenting options so that the audience at large and our fan base could become familiar with them, depending on which way the Patriots brass was going to go. I was doing my job, Andy. Okay?
You did your job. You covered all the bases like the tarp at Fenway during a rain delay.
Yes, I did.
Just because I like hockey does not mean it's my favorite.
Oh, okay. I guess I got to stop calling you Puckhead. I thought you were a hockey guy. 617-779-7937. Are you feeling good about where the Red Sox are? Brian Baio is back. He's throwing hard. He's getting a lot of run support. Jaron Duran is heating up. The lineup is starting to come together top to bottom. It's time to be excited about your hometown baseball team as we approach May. Now, if Tristan Casas could just get his ish together, we'd really have a baseball club out there. 617-779-7937. More Red Sox talk, and remember, top of the hour, Mego talking Celtics playoff basketball here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons. With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
No, I was in the corner of the dugout, so I think security did a good job. You know, this is a two-way street. That's something I said last year. You know, we made a mistake last year and we learned from it. We grew up, you know, as an individual and as a group, but there's limits too. And I think security, they did a good job of it. You know, I think the fan, whatever he said or whatever was going on, security felt like he crossed the line and they kicked him out.
Alex Cora talking about the incident with Jaron Duran and a fan in Cleveland. Bet it's not called Progressive Field anymore, but in my head, it's Progressive Field. It always will be.
No, I think it is.
Really?
It used to be called the Jake. That's what I thought you were going to say. Like, to me, it's always going to be the Jake. It was Jacobs Field. Then it became Progressive.
It was the Jake, and then it became Progressive. I just assume these things change. Like, I watched the Bucks, and they're in that
something
oh,
dot
core, sev, whatever they call it.
It's got like a dot in there and some E's and V's. I don't even know what the hell that is. But that was Alex Cora talking about Jaren Duran's situation. And I give him credit. I thought that was a really interesting comment. And it is something that I thought about. Because on the surface, I talked about this in my three-point stance, just a hellacious situation. What a jackal. You got drunk and said something really dumb. But in a weird way, Jaren Duran is now like 1-1 with the fans. Like, a fan said something which is sports appropriate last year and said he needed a tennis racket. He replied in unacceptable fashion. This time, a fan said something in completely an unacceptable fashion. It's almost like Jaren Duran should have a little bit of, I don't want to say a soft spot for the fan, but a little understanding. You know, that whole idea like, don't judge us by our worst moment. Don't judge me by my worst moment, my biggest mistake. I wonder if he can find the, as someone who listens to my Bible podcast, I wonder if he can find the ability to forgive this fan or to understand this fan as someone who, as Alex Cora said, stepped in it last year himself.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, Andy.
They're both bad.
This was bad.
They're both pretty bad.
Is really bad. Like, when you tell somebody who has admitted to having had suicidal thoughts, let alone actually was engaged in the act of potential self-harm mm-hmm. or, like, taking his life, and tell him that he should have done a better job or finished the job, whatever it was this idiot said, like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think you can forgive almost anybody. Like, that's a heavenly gesture, if you would. That's truly the definition of rising above. But I'm with Jones. Jones made a good point on the midday show today.
I doubt it.
All right. Jones made I thought Jones had a good point. I find myself agreeing more and more. Midday Jones I agree with more and more. Afternoon Jones I didn't agree with as much. It's funny. It's almost like they're two different people. He was saying he's getting a little concerned with the number of people that Duran mixes things up with.
Well, yeah, and he's
engaging a little too much. He's taking the bait from these fans. I think before he forgives this fan, Jaren Duran needs to do a little mirror check and be like, all right, calm down, rise. Like, okay, these people are all going to try to get in your head. You're here for a greater purpose. You can obviously be a leader. You can inspire people. You have a job to do here on the field as well for your fans back home and the team that's supporting you. Don't listen to these idiots that are all going to be like, your mom sucks. You suck. You should have done this. You should have done that.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend the fan in Cleveland, but I do think if you're Jaren Duran and you put this out there in the clubhouse on Netflix, mm-hmm. which my son watched on his flights to and from Florida for a little vacation last week, raved about it, and the first thing he said to me, Dad, I love Jaren Duran even more now, because he's always liked Jaren Duran. I love him even more now after watching the clubhouse. So he's a big fan of that. But when you put something like that out there mm-hmm. in this world we live in, it is certainly not Sadly. The perfect world, right? You have to be aware you're going to be poked and prodded and people are going to try to push your buttons. And what do they always say? Like, if you give them the reaction, A, that's what they want, and B, that's going to embolden other people to try to get a reaction out of you. So he does, there is a certain earmuffs, maturity, something, turn the other cheek. There's got to be something, because he is going to deal with these things. Not that it's okay for people to say. I'm certainly not saying that.
No, but he's not doing himself any favors.
Right. And he would actually probably do himself some favors if he ignores it. So maybe that person stops, and then you ignore another, and maybe it just kind of peters out and fades away. Whereas when you create some angst and some controversy for certain people, that's going to fuel them to want to do this.
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, a bully is only going to continue to bully you, or someone is going to nag you or pick on you, mock you, etc., so long as they know it gets to you.
Right.
So if you show them that, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounce off me and sticks to you, or, you know, or just ignore, or literally just, you know, borrow the line from 30 miles down Route 1 and ignore the noise, I think he would do himself a world of good.
And I think, and that was sort of my point, just not to throw back to my own three-point stance, because Stiz took all the attention with his old Belichickian three-point stance. That was sort of my point. I think, like, in both directions, there's a little bit of, like, just ignore the noise, to take Bill's words, right? Like, Jaren Duran, we see it in the NBA a lot now, too. I feel like Russell Westbrook and some of these guys,
Like, they almost
they learned it from Kevin Durant. That's
right.
Why.
And they almost want to engage. Like, and they're almost looking for it. And I don't know what's said, and I'm not saying everything should be ignored, but on some level, you're a professional athlete who's in a hostile environment in a playoff game on the road. You're 5 feet from fans that are drinking a little bit, yelling, don't like you. At some point, you need to kind of put your earplugs in and just play basketball or baseball or football. Yes, Diz.
Andy, I think you're wrong. I think everything does need to be ignored.
Everything?
Everything.
Like everything.
Everything.
Things we can't say that would shut us down.
Everything. I don't care. And what, you know, what this fan said to Duran was abhorrent. But you are the athlete. That is the fan.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what is said. There is never an excuse for you to almost become physical with a fan at a game. No matter what.
The physical part I agree with. And I do think, if in a best case scenario, Fitzy, this would almost be self-policed within the crowd. Like, people would be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Shut the hell up, Jackal. You know, like, deal with it on a crowd level. Because it makes Cleveland look bad, right? Like, it obviously, Jaren Duran handled it a certain way. I actually thought the Guardians, I didn't care for their statement. Did you notice that, Fitzy, when they said the player in question? He has a name. His name is Jaren Duran.
Why did they name Jaren Duran? Like, that seemed very
unapologetic.
It
lessened the apology. Yes.
Like, well,
yes,
are you butt hurt because you just got smoked and you gave up 13 runs on a Sunday?
Here's the statement, by the way, just to put it into context.
Okay.
We are aware of the situation that took place during today's game between a fan and one of the Red Sox players that violated our fan conduct policy. We recognize the gravity of the behavior at issue here and take very seriously conduct of this nature. We apologize to the Red Sox organization, the player involved, fans in the area, and are addressing the situation. We have identified the fan in question. We'll work with MLB regarding next steps.
Why don't you just call him what's-his-face?
Nah, that's a little different.
Like,
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you say Jaren Duran? Everybody knows Jaren Duran. This was a talking point when he made the revelation in the clubhouse. Everybody in baseball was talking about it. It was national news. And you know the player. We all saw the clip. We all saw that he was hot and bothered with a fan. We know who. Why are you not using his? I feel like it's disrespectful to Jaren Duran. It's like a half measure apology. You're not really apologizing to him.
I also, they say it violated our fan conduct policy. I don't care about your policy. Tell me how it violated Duran.
Right.
How about it just violated decency, violated humanity, violated proper behavior in public. In between this and the incident that took place in the UFL, which you mentioned earlier in the 3 o'clock hour, like, you have Puka Nacua's brother, who plays for the Detroit franchise of the UFL, smacking a fan in the face of the most popular franchise in the UFL that's basically keeping that league in business with, you know, now with this incident in Cleveland. Like, I didn't mention this in the 3 o'clock hour because things were sort of hijacked, much like Belichick's life, by the Belichick-Jordan conversation. But I truly believe that in the day and age of social media, that now people are feeling so emboldened that they can just act in public or act in a public forum just like they would when they make stupid comments on Instagram and TikTok, Twitter and Facebook. And they're realizing real quick that online probably won't have nearly the ramifications. In real life, it has real life effects on real people and real bad things that can happen to you if you act like such a jackass and do this stuff.
Coming up on the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we promised it. Now we will present it. Megan Ottolini joins WEEI Afternoons to talk Celtics basketball. Jason Tatum finished strong, 3-1 lead over the Magic. We'll see if they can get the fourth win. Megan Ottolini, WEEI Afternoons, up next.